This is going to be a busy morning. The Ultimate Cheapskate will join us after 8 this morning to talk about the joys of frugal living. We will talk about a new report that criticizes gender-exclusive classrooms and a new study on our news consumption habits after 7. This hour, we are going to hear from a cheese critic and an airline passenger rights advocate. So let's get to it. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, September the 27th. Our first guest this morning says the government deserves kudos for looking out for airline passengers. We will talk with him about new regulations that have recently been enacted, including the tarmac delay rule, and we will wonder if you have questions about your rights as an airline passenger at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Brandon Mixotta is Executive Director of the Association for Airline Passenger Rights, which works to promote fairer customer service and accessibility standards in the airline industry. He recently wrote a piece entitled Airline Passenger Protections Long Overdue, which we have linked to our website and our Facebook page. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me again.
Well, thanks a lot for joining us. I understand that you have to catch a train at 6:30.
I have to catch a train, go to New York, then go down to Miami, and then I'm going to take a week off and go to Italy, Joy. So this is a long overdue vacation for me.
Oh, have a wonderful time. I'm very jealous. Italy is beautiful.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I thought maybe you had headed up to here with the airline industry and switched over to trains or something.
Oh, that's a longer conversation, but yeah.
Well, let me read to our listeners the first paragraph of this piece. It caught our eye, and I'm sure it'll catch their ears. As a pro-capitalism, pro-business Republican, it always seems less desirable to favor strong government intervention in the marketplace. After all, doesn't government usually make matters worse? But every so often, government needs to inject itself into various segments of the economy, especially when the rights of consumers are being taken for granted, at best, or completely ignored, at worst. In recent times, there's no clearer example than the U.S. Department of Transportation's decision to promulgate a series of regulations guaranteeing airline passenger protections. So you're all for these government regulations?
Absolutely. You know, the airlines told us for the better part of 10 years, even longer than 10 years, Joy, that they would address these concerns, that they would look to improve some of the lack of customer service that was extended to its passengers, the tarmac delay. And for 10, 15 years, it didn't improve. It actually got worse. And, you know, the government warned them time and time again. Consumers cried foul time and time again. Congress looked into it. And, you know, sooner or later, you have to pay the piper. And now the airlines are paying the piper, and it's a good thing for consumers.
Yeah, and you say that the airline industry is unlike any other industry. Why?
Well, you know, Joy, I'm in Washington, D.C. Let's say tomorrow I have to be in Los Angeles for a family emergency or a business meeting. I have one mode of transportation, one way to get there, and that's an airline. I can't take a train because it won't get me there on time. I can't get in a car. And my Superman cape is at the dry cleaner, so I can't get there tomorrow. There's one way I can get there. It's an airline. So they really have a captive audience. And what we feel is that if you have this captive audience, it is incumbent upon you to treat those passengers with dignity and respect and to treat them fairly. It is a business. We understand that. It's not a social welfare program. You know, airlines are in the business to make money, but at the same time, if you continue to take your customers for granted, then you're kind of overstepping your bounds as a business.
Well, remind us why we needed a tarmac delay rule.
Joy, if I were to ask you to sit in your chair for the next 9 hours without access to food, at minimum maybe access to a beverage, and possibly even not have access to a working toilet, how would you feel about that?
Wouldn't be very happy about that at all.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, imagine sitting on an airplane with 200 other people doing the same thing. And that's what was happening. Now, clearly it wasn't happening every day, and it wasn't happening every hour. But the fact of the matter is, if it only happens once a month, if it only happens once every couple of months, it's a big deal. And it was happening more than that. And we just feel that is not a humane way to treat human beings. They're not just paying customers. They are human beings. And that's why we finally said enough is enough. We need some sort of government regulation that prevents the airlines from keeping us out on a tarmac for, you know, 6, 9, in there some cases 13 hours.
And what is the rule now?
Well, the rule is 3 hours. You know, and the legislative process is about compromise. Some people wanted 2, some people wanted 4. The end result is 3. And it was a rule that was issued by the federal U.S. Department of Transportation. And we applaud Secretary LaHood and DOT for that rule. But we're still pushing Congress to pass a law because let's say President Obama loses and a Republican comes into office with a new Secretary of Transportation, there's nothing to say that they can't change that regulation. Whereas if Congress passes the law, it's a little bit harder for a new Congress to come in and change that law.
Mm. So that tarmac delay rule was from the Department of Transportation. That took effect in April?
Yes.
And there were more in this summer in August? Some more rules went into effect?
Yes. The Department of Transportation followed up and said, you know, beyond the tarmac delay issue that, you know, again, doesn't happen every day, but it happens often enough to warrant a response. But there are things that happen every day. You know, paying these baggage fees and then come to find out your luggage is lost. Well, Department of Transportation said you deserve a refund. The tarmac delay rule didn't apply to foreign carriers. Well, now it does. You know, posting the making pricing, their airline pricing, more transparent so that when you think you've purchased a ticket for $200, you have actually purchased a ticket for $200. So there's a numerous things that were included in the new rule that are designed to help passengers.
But these two are rules from the DOT and not laws passed by Congress.
Exactly. And, you know, your listeners can go to our website, which is flyfriendlyskies.com. That's all one word. And we have information about the rules that is posted there. Or you can even go to dot gov to learn more about it. But especially the ones that came out over the summer, they were very extensive. They covered a lot of things. And, again, it's about compromise. There were some things we wanted DOT to go even further. For example, DOT doubled the compensation that you're entitled to if you get bumped on a flight. One of the things we asked DOT to do was no longer allow airlines to overbook a flight. I mean, we live in the most technologically savvy society. There's no reason why the airline should still be allowed to overbook flights, but DOT did not go along with us on that one and still allow the airlines to do that.
Why do they do that?
Well, you know, they claim that it's, you know, because let's say people start changing their flights all last minute, then they could be flying an airplane with 9 passengers on it. So that's the reason why they overbook it. That's the reason why they charge so much to change your flight. And, you know, I think it reminds me of a saying that Senator Joe Lieberman of Connecticut uses when he doesn't agree with something, and it's poppycock. You know, it's just absolutely ridiculous. You know, when you can do your banking on your smartphone, when you can change your train ticket on your smartphone, there's no reason why the airlines can't track these things in real time like everything else. Every other industry in society, even government does it. Back to your opening about being a pro-capitalist, pro-business Republican, you know, if I can say that government is doing it right now and in some ways doing it very efficiently, I think the airlines can do it as well.
Are you concerned about all the talk in Congress from Republicans primarily about deregulating many agencies?
No, not so much. I mean, I think there will be some. I think the biggest agency that is under the microscope, and deservingly so, is the TSA. I don't know to what extent anything will change in that regard, because as you probably witnessed over the summer, for anything to get through that chamber, that building, that institution is not exactly an easy task. So I wouldn't expect anything to happen very soon. I mean, even the passenger rights law, we've been trying to get for almost 10 years. So, you know, it's things in Washington do not happen overnight.
Is it true that I'm not going to have to take my shoes off anymore in the near future when I go through security?
That is true. It is a change that is coming. There will be a kind of a scanner, if you will, that will allow the airlines to still do it. And, you know, this is one of those things where we've been a little critical of TSA, and that is some of the things such as the shoe screening that they do, we're like the only country who still does it. You know, all the other countries don't do it anymore, and we're a little bit behind the curveball on this. So, you know, yeah, it's an inconvenience, but people are willing to do it if they think they're going to be safe when they're flying. I mean, we all want safety to be a priority when we fly, but the bottom line is there are so many other more efficient ways to screen shoes than having people take their shoes off, you know, put them through the screener, delays the lines, makes the lines get longer, so on and so forth. So, yes, that change is coming.
We are talking with Brandon McSatta. He is Executive Director of the Association for Airline Passenger Rights. And he says that the government deserves a lot of credit for looking out for airline passengers. And he is touting some of the new regulations that have recently been put into practice, including the tarmac delay rule, full disclosure of fees, rules involving lost baggage, and more. And we're wondering if you have questions about your passenger rights. We wonder if you think any other measures are needed for more passenger protection, or maybe you think flying has become less painful for you lately. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking our weather forecast for today, showers possible statewide, perhaps a thunderstorm in southeastern Wisconsin. Highs today in the mid-60s. Tonight, cloudy with a chance of showers, lows in the upper 40s, and tomorrow, partly cloudy, a chance of showers in eastern Wisconsin tomorrow with highs getting into the low 70s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 20 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, September the 27th. Coming up after 6:30, after the news, is cheese hazardous to your health? We will talk with a guest, a physician, who says yes. And he's behind an effort to put up a billboard near Lambeau Field featuring the Grim Reaper wearing a cheese head. I'll bet you'll have some questions for him after 6:30. Maybe you have some questions about your airline passenger rights, or maybe you have some gripes for our guest for the rest of this half hour. Brandon McSatta is Executive Director of the Association for Airline Passenger Rights. And we have an open line for you, and again, just about 10 minutes or so. So if you have a question, get in soon. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. What do you think of these new rules from the Department of Transportation that affect you when you're flying? Are there any others that you think need to be put in place? We welcome your questions. Our first caller is Eric in Green Bay. Hello, Eric.
Hi.
Yes, hello.
Hi. I had a question for your guest. What about like delayed flights, or they make you wait? You know, we got in an airport and we were supposed to be there at 9 o'clock and sat in the airport till 7 o'clock that evening, and then we missed our connecting flight. So we landed in Chicago, and they said, "Oh no, you missed it. You're just going to have to pay for the new flight and then stay overnight here." And luckily, the person behind me said was actually on the same flight and spoke up to the lady and said, "You can't make these people do this. You just gave me a free hotel room, and you were gonna cover for the connecting flight." And the lady's like, "Well, I gotta get the superior," and they really just stretched it out to no end. And
did you get a deal or not, Eric?
They did. They ended up providing me with a room and then a connecting flight. But it was, you know, we're standing there, my kids are crying, and you know, it was 7 and 8 o'clock at night, and it was just unbelievable.
Yeah, and you weren't where you wanted to be. Yeah, so that sounds like a headache, Brandon. What is the general rule when it comes to that kind of thing?
Eric, thanks for your question and comment. The general rule is it's really an airline by airline decision. And we certainly don't expect the airlines to be able to control the weather or unforeseen circumstances that cause flight delays. You know, we're realists. We understand that's not their responsibility. However, what is their responsibility is how they react in a situation like that. Unfortunately, they're not required by law to provide a hotel room, under normal circumstances. In a case like that, they usually do it a case-by-case basis. But in terms of, missing the flight and, claiming that it was this gentleman's fault and not paying and saying he had to pay for it, that's pretty rare. I don't think I've ever heard that story before. And it would be the airline's responsibility to put them on the next available flight, and he should not have to pay for it. I mean, if he's in the airport, he made, and it was a connecting flight, and he got there, and for no fault of his own, missed the flight or the flight was canceled. No, they are not supposed to charge him for another flight. Absolutely not.
Eric, thanks very much. Lynn in Milwaukee is with us now. Hello, Lynn.
Good morning. My question is about passengers having to pay the price of two seats for being heavier set. And I'll briefly describe the situation. We have three sisters. One was getting married in California, and my sister and I were supposed to fly out. My sister that was supposed to go with me is a heavier set gal, and the airline told her that she would have to pay for two seats. And it turned out that it was cheaper for her to leave a week early and take a train instead of flying all together. I'm just wondering if there's anything in the way of passenger rights about having to pay for two seats for one passenger.
Thank you, Lynn. Well, it's Joy, I've actually been on your program previously discussing this issue, and we've taken a pretty strong stand against what we refer to as the fat tax, and that is charging people for two seats. And I often get into debates with people saying, why are you sticking up for larger passengers and not my rights? And my response is, we are, in doing so, we're actually fighting for everybody, because we simply think that the seats in coach class are too small, period. Doesn't matter if you're a larger person or not a larger person. We've proposed a solution. Take the first couple of rows of each aircraft, make the seats a little bit larger, charge a little bit more for the seats. There are a couple of size acceptance civil rights organizations that have come out in favor of this and have said, our members are willing to pay more for this seat. Considering that the airline is charging you more for everything today, it's certainly in keeping with their business model. But, we just think it's unfair. The rules are actually very arbitrary. They are actually a little bit discriminatory toward women, because the way that they measure whether you're too large for the seat or not would impact a female more than a male, because it's based on hips and not gut or shoulders. So we've talked about this, over and over again. But, yeah, we think it's absolutely unfair. And we don't think the debate should be over the size of the person's butt, but rather the seat that the size of the butt is sitting in. And, that's the reason why we've taken such a strong stand, because if they can do this to a passenger of size, what's the next group of passengers that they're going to start making travel more uncomfortable for, charging them more for, so on and so forth.
Yeah, but as it is now, some airlines do and can charge extra for an overweight person.
There are no protections. Southwest and United are probably the most aggressive. So if you're looking to avoid this situation, I would suggest you avoid those airlines. You got to keep in mind that it's also very embarrassing when this happens. I mean, I've heard stories of passengers actually being seated on the plane and then a gate agent coming back on the plane and taking them off the plane, saying in the middle of the plane, "You're too fat. We need to charge you for a second seat." That's not the way you handle a situation.
Time for one more call. Victor in Milwaukee. Hello, Victor.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning to your guests.
Good morning.
Mine is not really a complaint. It's a concern. It's about pets. Not in the kennel, not in the storage area, but right up in the seat next to you. Now, I like cats and dogs like anybody else, but my concern is, all right, if you're eating, what if that animal decides to use the bathroom or something. I don't want to smell it. So, I mean, is it a growing trend, or is it just only certain airlines that allow pets on the line?
Victor, well, it is an airline-by-airline policy. Typically, you're only allowed one pet per cabin. So, in other words, one pet in first, one pet in coach. Some airlines may allow more. And at no time are the passengers legally supposed to take the pet out of their crate. And I have seen this happen. That is more a reflection of the flight attendants maybe not knowing it's going on, or if they're knowing it's going on, oh, that's a cute dog, you know. But they are legally supposed to, that pet is supposed to remain in the crate at all times, unless it's a service animal. And, of course, a service animal is protected by the Americans with Disabilities Act, and, you know, that's a different situation. But if it's just a pet that's coming on, then that pet is not supposed to be out of the crate, period.
Victor, thanks for the call. Just a minute to go, Brandon. What's the biggest thing you'd like to see happen when it comes to airline passenger rights in the future?
Well, you know, Joy, when the tarmac rule went into effect, the airlines complained that the skies were going to fall and all these flights were going to be canceled, and the data's in, and that's not happening. You know, yes, there's been a few more flights canceled, but these excessive delays have been nearly eliminated. And what we would like to do is we would like to have a dialogue with the airlines and the government on how to improve passenger rights so that the government doesn't have to, you know, step in like they did the two times this year. Because traveling by air is not a pleasant experience anymore. We would like to make it more pleasurable, and that's really the reason why we exist. And we encourage your listeners, again, to go to our website, flyfriendlyskies.org, or .com, excuse me, and learn a little bit more. And if you have any questions, we'd be happy to help you.
And have a wonderful, wonderful vacation in Italy. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Joy.
Brandon Muscata, Executive Director of the Association for Airline Passenger Rights. Thanks very much to Bill Martins and to Amanda Magnus for producing this program. Stay tuned. We will talk about cheese and our health coming up after the news.